I preach in the name of the living God. Amen. Some years ago, a small child was standing in the hallway of her house watching the Christmas tree with all its lights and decorations being taken down, which I understand is going to be happening after the service this morning. When the rest of the house had been cleared and the tree had been stripped and removed, the child sadly remarked, "Christmas has gone out the door." Well, sometimes I wonder whether it seems like that for us once Christmas is over. We're back to normal, we pack away the Christmas decos and we stop listening to the carols, and life resumes almost as if Christmas was a frenzied blip on the horizon. No wonder it might seem as if Christmas has indeed gone out the door. Or has it? Or even should it? Our story today from Matthew's Gospel is one we hear every year on this Feast of the Epiphany. Epiphany, of course, meaning revelation or appearance, a showing. This story, unlike the Christmas stories we've heard over these past, well, the past week or so, is not such a pretty story if we read further in Matthew's Gospel. And we can hear the sinister parts in the reading verses 1 to 12. We know that King Herod's fear of their news, of the Magi's news of a newborn king, leads to a brutal massacre of innocent young boys. The wise men, the Magi, are Gentiles, men of mystery, astrologers. They journey all the way from the east, possibly Persia, to Bethlehem. Some scholars argue that it's quite likely that Jesus would have been older than a baby by the time they got there, maybe even a toddler. They were followers of another faith. They neither belonged to the chosen people, the Jewish race, nor believed certain theological propositions. They were likely wealthy enough, spending their time studying the stars. Matthew's point is that these outsiders make a journey to Bethlehem, and they are welcomed. Even as outsiders, they pay homage to this infant king, a kingship no one can take away from him. It's such an irony that the king of the Jews, born right under the noses of the Jewish wise men, those scribes, who were not more than a few kilometres away in Jerusalem, yet they didn't see this good news. Those ones tasked with discerning the wisdom of the law and faith didn't see any need to go to Bethlehem to visit their infant king. They were uninterested, perhaps, and remained in darkness. Whereas these Gentiles, these Magi astrologers, travel all the way from the east to meet a star that had lightened, that had lit up their darkness. Darkness that would have been useful to these stargazers. Darkness that enabled their eyes to see the most amazing truth. And so it will be up to these Magi to demonstrate that the real power and authority doesn't belong in Jerusalem, but in a little town called Bethlehem. Courageously risking their long journey, they are willing to leave what is familiar to them. Afterwards, seeing the danger, hearing the danger, discerning it in King Herod, they must return to their land by another road, Matthew tells us. no longer at ease in the old dispensation, as T.S. Eliot, the Anglican social commentator and poet, wrote in his famous poem, Journey of the Magi. Life is changed forever, having pursued this star. In contrast to Matthew's Gentile magi, who are the ones designated to bear witness to this divine epiphany, Luke tells us, and we've heard it these past days, it's shepherds who are the first to hear and see the good news. These poor, illiterate people, neither educated nor wealthy, ordinary, unassuming, unacceptable because working as shepherds they weren't able to observe Jewish law. They contrasted these shepherds and these magi. But what might they both share in common? They're on the margins. They're both outsiders. They're both unlikelies to be the ones first to hear the good news. They both worship the baby. When they finally saw the star, Matthew tells us, they were overjoyed. T.S. Eliot writes, when they saw the star, it was, you may say, satisfactory. What a glorious understatement that is. And why would it not be? Perhaps it's as if they can feel a sense of the holy. They can sense God's fingerprints in this newborn king. Having been guided by angels to the manger, the shepherds leave, glorifying God, and henceforth make known what they have seen and heard. They too are changed. This is what happens when one encounters Jesus. We are never the same. Both magi and shepherds persevere in their journey. A hard time the magi had of it, writes Eliot, reminding the Christian that we too must persevere, are likely to have to persevere. For it's by their perseverance and their worship that the magi are changed, not just literally, they are changed in their heart. And so we read that they went home by another road. Our faith journey is not unlike that of the shepherds and the magi. Our relationships, our life events, our workplaces, our family, our parish life. These are the places where God calls us to reflect, to reveal, to be an epiphany of the Word made flesh. Like the infant king, we too are God with skin on. Sometimes needing to set out on new and unfamiliar paths, spiritually or even literally. So we too will need courage. And through persistent prayer and worship and adoration, we too will be changed. Each time, as that young girl remarked in the story, each time we take Christ out the door. Which actually, well, she said Christmas, but I'm saying Christ. Which actually we do every time we come to the Eucharist. We receive what's needed, and then we are sent out the door to love and serve the Lord, being the Word made flesh in daily life. And like the magi and the shepherds, we will need to open the eyes of our hearts and look in the right places to encounter God and to be God, to be the face of God. We will do this in Bethlehem, wherever Bethlehem is symbolized for you, not in Jerusalem. Epiphany reveals that the chosen people of God are getting bigger, as in more numerous. Jesus is to be worshipped and adored as the Messiah, not just for the house of Israel, but for the whole world. Shepherds on the outskirts in fields far away, and wise men from the east, both knowing nothing of Israel's God, but upon hearing and seeing, they too want to come and worship. And meaning shifts for them, as it does for anyone willing to come and adore him. And not just in metaphorical fair weather, but sometimes at the worst time of the year. Sometimes it will be into hostile contexts that we will be sent. Those magi and shepherds who were resolute and courageous. It's perhaps timely at a time of year when we are inclined to make resolutions, to remember the wise words of a former Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael Ramsay. His words, they were five pointers to clergy at the beginning of a new year, are words for all Christians as we begin this new year of grace. Firstly, he says, thank God often and always, carefully and wonderingly, for every experience of goodness. Thankness, he said, is a soil in which pride does not easily grow. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus so as not to lose sight of him. Secondly, he says, take care about confession of your sins to prevent a critical spirit from invading your life. It's so tempting, isn't it, to be critical about people and things. And so often we do this in such unnecessary ways. Thirdly, be ready to accept humiliations, to be humble. If Jesus accepted humiliation and was humble, we need to be also. These will be the times and opportunities where we can be close to Jesus. Fourthly, do not worry about status, remembering that he was speaking to clergy. The only status worth being concerned about is our proximity to Jesus. So, resolve to stay close to Jesus, like the shepherds and the magi. Persevere, adore, pray, and worship. That way, we can hear wherever it is we are being asked to go to be the revelation of God. Then Bishop Michael finishes by saying, if you live this way, people will thank God for you, not just because you're likable, but because you made God real to them. Imagine if every one of us walked outside this church this morning, resolved to make God real to one person by God's grace. Imagine if people were able to see the face of Christ in us over this next year. This is what the Magi did, as did those shepherds, and Joseph, and Mary. Wherever we have sensed God's fingerprints in and on our lives, we will not leave those places as we came. We must leave by another way, lifting up our eyes and looking for all that will thrill the heart, as the prophet Isaiah says. That little girl was right. Christmas does and must go out the door.